Hey everybody, this is Bevan. Welcome to Bevan, a femme over 40 and her friends podcast. I'm your host, Bevan. Said my name three times. It's time to start the show. My co-host Biscuit Reynolds is saying hello from the afterlife. I don't know. Is that a depressing way to start the show? I don't mean it to be, but it's just the acknowledgement of my truth that my co-host has entered the ancestral realm. But you know what? He's still overlording. It still feels to me like he's in the bedroom. You know what I mean? Like it's really hard to release an animal companion. And thank you for witnessing my grief. Anybody who's been listening to this podcast for any amount of time knows that I keep saying this. I swear this podcast isn't about grief, but grief is part of quality of life. Quality of grieving is quality of life. And that's what I'm here to teach you how to do the best I can. It's just what I've figured out. Everything in this podcast is take what you like and leave the rest. So I hope it helps. Today, we're going to talk about hard conversations. I was inspired by actually Alexis suggested that I turn the Spice Girls podcast into a potential series. And it wasn't even the Spice Girls that I wanted to have as a series. It was really the symptoms of white supremacy culture that I wanted to talk about, because I think one of the most important things we can do as white folks in the world is to confront the things that we have been taught that have limited us from our best lives, which is a life where every human has dignity and deserves to go to bed safe at night with a full belly and knowing their kids get to be safe. That is something I just think about a lot in this era of like an active ongoing genocide. And I'm just going to say this unequivocally, free Palestine, free all oppressed people. I also, you know, I used to be a real estate lawyer and now I don't even think real estate should be a thing because the idea of land ownership came because of colonization and people just coming and stealing land from collective ownership. And so anyway, that's not what this podcast is about. Although that is a hard conversation to have. It's hard to own your truth when you talk to people because a lot of what hard conversations are is the willingness to have a conversation where you don't know where it's going to go. It's safe to talk about things like the weather and sports, even though it's boring. But the thing about hard conversations is that if you're afraid of disappointing people, which like if you're a recovering people pleaser like me, disappointing people is like the worst thing I could do. I used to really get all bent up in pleasing people and like wanting people to accept me and love me and like to perform in a way, like I definitely used achievement as a trauma response and a way to prove my worth, having grown up in an alcoholic environment. And not that the alcoholic was there, but certainly the family symptoms of the disease were present and socialized into me, along with white supremacy, because we're just unconsciously taught that stuff, right? And so a lot of what I long to teach you through my work, and I can do it fastest with my aerobics class because you learn far faster with play and joy and moving your body than you do just listening to my words. But I'm glad you're here anyway. But it's to just release shame, is to root it out and to just ask questions about where did I learn this idea that I was bad? And where did I learn this idea that other people have less value than me and that we have to live in a hierarchy? Right? Like that, just asking tough questions. I went on a tangent, but that's my way. As an ADHD cutie, I can't not have 20 conversations at once, but we got a whole page of notes. So we're going to try to hit the highlights on hard conversations. So, right. Hard conversations can run the gamut of like, I need something from you in this relationship, or I need to set a boundary, or I need to just let you know about a new thing about me. And I'm not sure how you're going to react. I need to quit a job. I'm afraid of disappointing you because I'm doing that. I need to fire you and I'm afraid of your reaction, right? Like there are lots of reasons why a conversation may be hard. A job interview is a hard conversation. Asking someone on a date is a hard conversation. Owning your desire is a hard conversation, but they are the way to you living your authenticity and pursuing your desires and pursuing who you really are, and living this best life. Like anybody who thinks that they should, well, I think we're socialized to believe we shouldn't ever change and, that we're supposed to be staying the same, or that like, here's another thing, that we're always going to be safe and that there's some certainty in that. The only truth is uncertainty. I think the climate collapse is really showing us that like, At any moment, your entire town could get flooded and wash away in a landslide. Your entire town could be eaten up by a wildfire and just not exist anymore. I think the quarantine taught us that suddenly your job can cease to exist. I learned that in 2008 when I got laid off from my job that I had like kind of stuck around in because I'd been there for so long and I wanted the security. So like staying loyal to something that can fire you with or without notice, like I don't know. Certainty is just a myth, right? And the idea, I think it's really part of I'm learning, I'm in Living Systems with Leah Garza. So grateful to get the chance to learn from her. Her pedagogy is extraordinary. It's really just come as you are, that intellectual intimacy, like entangling with big ideas, untangling ways that we've been socialized, not only as students, but also as like people living in the legacy of colonization, which white supremacy, slavery, there's a lot of things that come from the legacy of colonization, right? So we didn't create it, but it is our responsibility to handle it, right? And so two of the big symptoms of white supremacy, that's kind of where I got the idea for this conversation, is fear of open conflict and defensiveness. I was very defensive for most of my adult life and young adult life because I felt unsafe. And I can say this actually after a year of Leah Garza's Akashic Mentorship. She's really changing my life. Like one of our first conversations was my first podcast with her. Like we had hung out on Zoom before and we'd met like socially a little bit, but really getting to learn and study under her about the Akasha and just the spirit team that we get to have in this life, it really kind of taught me about that internal sense of safety and knowing that I'm safe no matter what. And like taking risks is part of our work on this planet because our soul desires things, right? And so, knowing that in hindsight, I can kind of see in my life like why I was defensive. It's ego stuff. It's your ego is like a personality mask that is trying to protect you, because you've had experiences where you were unsafe, right? And so therefore you can feel unsafe and it's as though you are unsafe, right? Like if you feel it, it's true, even though feelings aren't facts, right? Like it's just how you're operating. So when I was defensive, and like when someone's defensive, there's no learning that can happen because that's a trauma response. And so learning things like it's so funny how like I learn all these things and they kind of overlap each other and then clarify over time. So I was definitely unlearning defensiveness when I learned nonviolent communication. And so it's like I softened a very aggressive way I had of speaking. And I mean, I went to law school. They teach you how to do that. I had to make a decision in my second long-term partnership. I made a decision that I was no longer going to fight like a lawyer in my intimate relationships. And that was a very kind decision I made. Okay, so defensiveness is really just working on your internal sense of safety, like you're safe no matter what. That is not the topic of this podcast. I could really go deep down on that. Maybe I will someday. But basically, like your defensiveness is blocking your intimacy. So it's curiosity is, I think, the best antidote to defensiveness and feelings of unsafety is just getting curious about what's possible. I'm really actually myself learning how to accept surprise. I was talking about this on my Instagram stories for a while, which is like how much I hate surprises, which is true, I kind of do. But I also recognize surprise is just part of life, and the universe longs to surprise me. And so it's kind of like my theory is like people I love are going to die, and that's going to come as a surprise to me because it has again and again and again. Even though like only 10% of deaths are actual surprises, it's still like, you know, that moment where you know someone's going to die is heart-wrenching, right? And like there's so many other surprises in life that are unavoidable. I was like, well, don't throw me a surprise party, which is still true, but I don't ever want to discourage someone from coming to me with a hard conversation because I want to love my people. And to love your people well is to be willing to witness the deaths of every version of them as they continue to unfold. And that might also be like new levels of boundaries or new needs that they might bring me so that I might love them better. And one of my great goals in life is to love my people well. Like three main goals: teach great aerobics, be the best Bevan I can be, and love my people well. And being the best Bevan I can be is also being willing to have hard conversations with people, because once I come to a new realization about who I am, I want to be able to share that with my people, right? So first off, I want to give you just some possible tips for when you're having when someone approaches you with a hard conversation. Listen. This is the loudest way to love someone is just to listen. You know what I mean? Most people don't need you to say anything. They just want you to hear. So listen, practice your good listening skills, and get curious. Ask them questions, ask them clarifying questions. But like sit there with an open heart, being curious and loving them. And here's a hot communication tip that I learned from one of the most successful people I've ever met, which is when you're talking to someone, repeat in your head, I love you. I love you. I love you over and over again, because people can feel the way you approach them with your heart. And it is, people can feel it. I can see it. I can see it happen because I do it, right? Like my little ADHD brain wants to go a thousand directions, wants to like come, and especially like back when I was feeling unsafe in conversations like that, right? Because like once you sort of get a sense that like I'm safe no matter what, like I am enough for every circumstance I'm walking into, right? This is a lot of personal work I've done. But once you get there, like you don't need to come up with the right next thing to say. Just trust your gut when it's your turn to talk, right? So like while you're listening, just saying I love you if you need a mantra to keep your brain from running away to other places, because you really want to hear what your person wants to say to you, right? And then also believe them, even if you disagree with them. Like that's this the one of my, I have two big themes for 2024, audacity and curiosity. And the curiosity is like, there are a lot of people out there who have very strong convictions that I think are wrong, right? There are people out there actively supporting an ongoing genocide. Get curious. Why do they think that way? You know what I mean? Like what's going on in there? Curiosity is a great way to love people, but believing them is also a great way to love people. Just believe that that's true for them. You don't have to prove anything, you know, like, unless you're in an actual relationship with them, an ongoing relationship, you don't even really need to convince them of anything. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here, like, on a podcast, take what you like, leave the rest. You're here because you are using your time, treasure, and talent to be present with me, and I'm grateful for that. And before we move on to the rest of this podcast, I do want to tell you the best way to support my podcast is through my Patreon page. Patreon, patreon.com/FKDP, linked in the show notes. I can draw a direct line to the work I'm creating today to my ongoing Patreon support. I am so grateful to be a Patreon supported artist. You don't even have to pay any money to join. It's a great way to keep up with me. I did ask my Patreon members, free and paid, before recording this podcast, if they had any questions about hard conversations, so you can be part of this creation process. I also teach Fat Kid Dance Party aerobics, which is for anyone who feels left behind by mainstream fitness. If you've ever been called too fat, too much, or felt too awkward to dance, mine is the supportive class for you. I would love to support you with care, and self-care options. I have a whole menu. I just finished this big artistic project, where I did 17 weeks of 15-ish minute classes to support grief. So I wanted to learn some grief support stretches, and I also wanted to learn how to or practice working with a live band, because my big aerobics goal next time I can fund or I find funding for an aerobics video series is to do it with a live band and kind of recreate Sweat Into the Oldies, but like with the Bevan Body Love flavor, right? And so I wanted to practice working with a live band, my favorite band. One of my favorite bands, Grateful Dead. Truly, like Grateful Dead, I'm just like fascinated with it, like in a way that is surpasses band, right? But Terrapin Station is my favorite song, which I don't even really think it's a song. I think it's a metaphysical transportation device, but it's a great space to hold for feelings. And I am so impressed because I just like had this idea to do this thing, and then now I have 17 videos that can support you grieving. And the reactions from my students has been really incredible. I taught it live on Zoom, but I recorded it for my on-demand members, so you can join. The on-demand membership has tons of classes, 55-minute full-length full dance aerobics classes, 10 minute, 20 minute, 50 chair aerobics, low tempo classes, lots and lots of self-care parties, like so much in there. And I really want to help you with your self-care support. Patreon members also get early access to podcast episodes and extra bonus goodies from me that I don't share anywhere else, because that is really like, I know the people who support my Patreon are true homies and like want to see me win. So that's where I like take the stuff that I'm not broadcasting to the whole wide world. So anyway, if you're a Patreon supporter, thanks for supporting me, and I'm glad you're here. Okay, back to hard conversations. So here's what with hard conversations, you can either let people project all over you. You know what I mean? If you're never like standing up for yourself and you're just constantly people pleasing, you are just like a white screen that people are just projecting what they think onto you. And I think a lot of us are socialized to do that, especially if you're someone like I think Libras and Scorpios especially, I've just experienced this a lot. Like people who are just like kind of like Scorpios will just kind of shrink back into the wall and just let you project onto them. I've dated a lot of Scorpios. I can just tell you that's how it seems to be if the Scorpio is not really actively involved in like being themselves and having a strong personality. But also just being a people pleaser is just letting people assume what they want about you instead of just actually saying who you are, what you want. And I know it's hard to make a decision from for some people, right? You know, but like I think becoming who you are and being who you are is one of the most important things that we can do in this life. And like you're really cutting everyone short. Like Fred Rogers says, like the greatest gift you can give is your honest self. So to that end, oh, and also it's letting people project all over you versus authentic intimacy. I just want to honor that that's the whole note that I wrote myself. To that end, hard conversations with yourself. I know we think about hard conversations, we think about other people, but like it can be one of the hardest things to confront yourself, to confront a truth that may have been bubbling under the surface for quite some time that eventually like comes out and it's like, what? This? I will tell you, like I was truly convinced that I was a monogamous person just inherently up until like January of 2023. And then like I just had like a few like inciting conversations, and like many of my best friends are polyamorous, and I have been in mostly non-monogamous relationships. So it's I was just kind of like, I'm just like monogamous in the heart way, right? Because polyamory, multiple love at once, right? But then once I was really honest with myself about like, oh, I'm still in love with like my this dead person who I dated for very casually for several years, right? Like, and like, oh, I'm still in love with my first love, even though like I don't want to pursue a romantic relationship with them. Like I still have love feelings for them. And I want to just be able to be honest about that. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like I actually want to necessarily have multiple love relationships at once, although I'm open to how the universe wants to surprise me. But like what I really want to do is just be willing to be honest with myself about what's going on. And it was very inconvenient to talk about those things or to be honest about those things, right? And so that's just one tiny example. But like, I mean, the same was true like when I came out to myself as queer. I was like a teenager. I was 16 when I realized, when I allowed myself to realize, because I think I was 14. I was 14 when I knew gay was a thing you could be, which like is really like, I love my mother. Lazy parenting, to have not, like my mom is gay. Like, but she wasn't practicing at the time when I was a young person. So like I didn't get any exposure to like people saying, I met gay people as a young person, but nobody ever said like, oh, this person, this woman and this woman are life partners. Nobody drew that math for me, because like nobody in the media talked about it. So it was just like, oh, if we don't talk about it doesn't exist. This is like the Florida don't say gay stuff, and that's why it's so dangerous. I also just want to give big ups to Washington for passing. They essentially made a say gay bill, because now queer history is part of the curriculum from like I think 4th grade to 12th grade in history. So there you go. But anyway, if you don't know that gay is a thing you could be, but you have gay feelings, like and I will say I'm queer, not gay. Like I'm, you know, I definitely thought I was like half and half for a while, and that was wrong. I'm more like five and a half versus 0.5. But you know, the right excellent man could make the cut, but it'd have to be the right connection. And I always know, right? Like the chemistry is real for me. I have a Venus in Scorpio. It's like it's really, it's love or it's not, you know? And like I can just vibe. If you want more on that, I have two podcast episodes. One's about true love and one's about modern love. And both of those are like not that far behind in the queue. Welcome if you're new to the podcast. Okay, so hard conversations with yourself. Be willing to continue to explore yourself and be willing to be an explorer of different experiences in the world so that you might see yourself in that. That's one of my favorite things about being an artist is just sharing who I am so other people might find other ways of being a happy, successful adult that are not what the mainstream says you should want, because most of what the mainstream is saying you should want is to sell you stuff. I'm not trying to sell you anything. Maybe aerobics if you want, only if you want, right? You could also just tune into my aerobics and just lay there. Minimum participation is just showing up. And I have a lot to teach you that I can teach you best on the dance floor. I've been doing body liberation and self-liberation, self-image work since I was 22 years old consciously. And I have learned so much in these couple decades, and it's taken me a long time to learn that. And I've learned the hard way. I want to teach you the easy way, right? I just want it to be easier for you. Okay, so hard conversations, the timing, when to do it. I really think the time to have the hard conversation is now or after a good night's sleep and a good meal. Faster you can do it, the better. One of my biggest mistakes as a businesswoman has been hiring mistakes. And I felt so reassured when John C. Maxwell, one of my favorite leadership author, like truly like one of my top five people that I feel influenced by. I've read like so many of his books. I listened to his audios a lot. I've learned a lot from him. And he says his biggest mistakes have been hiring. So, right. And he says, and Mylique Teal also, I would call her in my top five if I, with her podcast and everything, like I try. Anyway, so Mylique Teal, also a businesswoman I admire, who has also said her greatest mistakes are hiring mistakes. So I'm like, I am in great company. But once you know it's time to fire someone, you need to fire them right away. That's a hard conversation to have, but it's the truth, and you just need to do it. I also think that was a question I got is like discerning when to have the hard conversation versus when to walk away, right? So like if this is like a hard conversation you maybe need to have with a friend, right? Like a boundary. I would suggest discerning whether you want to continue to have a relationship with them, because you only set boundaries with people you want to continue to have a relationship with. And this will dive back into my defensiveness conversation, is if someone is setting a boundary with you, that means they want to continue to have a relationship with you. A lot of boomers are very confused about why their kids are no contact with them. And I was no contact with both of my parents for most of my 20s, and my dad most of my life. In fact, when he died, I was no contact with him because he had violated a boundary. And so it's just like again and again, just choosing not to. It's so funny. My mom and my dad, both Sagittarius moon, very different expressions of that. My mom, when I set a boundary, it's like done. Like she won't even talk about it again, right? I told her once, like, I don't want to talk about my dad right now. It was right after he died. And I was really like, my mom had just been in the hospital. I hadn't gotten a lot of sleep. Like I was really stressed. And like, she said she was talking shit about my dad. And like, I don't want to talk about my dad right now. And like, she hasn't brought him up ever since. And it's been probably almost 2 years. No, about a year. Anyway, just saying, like, she's just like hardcore on the bit. If I set a boundary, it's like she'll take it to, I mean, she's a Cancer. So she'll take it to the extreme, but whatever. Better to adhere to the boundary than to violate the boundaries, right? Okay, so discerning when to have the hard conversation or when to walk away. This is a process my therapist taught me, which has been very helpful, which is first, he says, write a letter as though they're never going to read it. Because if you self-censor in any way, you're not going to get to the truth of how you really feel. So just writing it out and just getting it out on paper, there's like some epic honesty that can come from that. And you could burn it later if you want. But then after that, you're going to sit with it and just really consider, what is the outcome that I want from this? And if the, I mean, sometimes the clarity of the outcome is very real. There was a person in my life, this is where I learned this from actually, because I spent an entire therapy session. I spent all of those dollars on this one person and this one conflict. But that's the great thing about therapy is like, rather than stewing in it and like assuming I know best, I talked to a professional. But also it does really speak to me, like if a person is costing me money in therapy, they're probably not a relationship I want to keep unless they're a relationship worth keeping, right? And so what I realized after I wrote out that letter was like my outcome was I just wanted to maintain this person as someone who I could, she was a vendor of some type, and I wanted to be able to purchase her things from her, right? And like that was it. That was the only, I didn't want to maintain a friendship. I didn't want to be close with her because like she had just done enough to show me who she really was, you know. And Maya Angelou says, Dr. Maya Angelou says, when people show you who they really are, believe them the first time. And so I realized, oh, okay, well, if all I want is this, then really all that needs to be said to her is like essentially a fawn response. Because when we're in fight or flight mode, right? Like, so when our nervous system is triggered, we can go into fight or flight or freeze, which is Bevan's response of choice. I used to freeze all the time. My depressions were essentially just long freeze responses. And then fawn, which is like appeasing people, right? Like, and I've also done that, right? And so I intentionally wrote a fawn response. And then she ended up ending the friendship any, or I will say she ended up doing something even worse the next day. And I was like, okay, I think this is the worst. I'm not purchasing things from her because I have control over my time, treasure, and talent. So anyway, that's the thing about how you get clear about whether or not to have that hard conversation is like write out all your feelings and then ask yourself, what do you really want? And then come up with a plan of action. I think it will get clear from that. I'm a big fan of walking away. Sometimes things don't need to be said. You know, like if it's not a relationship I want to preserve, put it on the fade. I'm a Scorpio moon, so like that strong Scorpio energy is very like cut off queen. You know, it's like when you're dead to me, you're dead to me, and like respect the dead. I don't necessarily need to ghost people, but like sometimes that's just what happens, right? And it's all good. I don't actually have regrets from any relationship I've walked away from. But I'm also a person who keeps growing. And something I learned from John Maxwell is like, if you're growing, then you're losing friendships. And that's a sign that you're growing, right? Because people are in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And so I think like I've answered those questions about like the discernment. If you have other follow-up questions, you can always shoot me an email, fatkiddanceparty@gmail.com, or DM me on Patreon. I'm happy to hear it. Like I feel like as in this in 2024, I'm very committed to continuing the pace of this podcast as weekly. And so I need help knowing what's going to help you, right? Because I'm really just here to help. That's my vibe. Okay. Another question that I got is when to give advice versus not give advice. I, you know, something that was a real toxic trait of mine that I've unlearned, and I'm a Capricorn sun, Scorpio moon, Virgo rising. Like, I really know when I think I'm right. You know what I mean? But I have also learned, like, the book How to Win Friends and Influence People, which I wish was called How to Shave Off Your Rough Spots, so people you love know that you love them. That book, the very first chapter is never criticize, condemn, or complain. Like they are just, I grew up thinking criticism was love and like giving unsolicited advice was love. My grandmother was a Capricorn. May she rest in power. I loved her so much. She loved to give critical advice. My mother loves to give critical advice, but she has learned how to tone it down and roll it back and only give out advice when she's asked. My mom actually gives great advice in the areas like this is where you discern who you take advice from. It's a, do they have fruit on the tree in the area that you want, right? But that's how you take advice, right? Like most people don't want to hear advice. Most people just want to make their mistakes and fall on their face and learn their lesson because people got to learn through struggle. And that's really hard as a people pleaser is to let your people struggle. But I will say, like, something like my therapist doesn't give me unsolicited advice. I have to ask him. My coach doesn't give unsolicited advice. I have to come to her and say that. Otherwise, it's a strengths-based approach, which is the most effective. And that's true for yourself, right? Like in your brain, if you're constantly criticizing yourself, you're not, you can't beat yourself up to success. I have tried. If that could work, I would be a gajillionaire. You know what I mean? But now I'm working on building myself up to success. I'm working on being my own best cheerleader, like John Maxwell teaches. In one of his books, he talked about how he's his own best cheerleader. And I'm like, he's like, I'm my best friend. And I was like, wow, he had really loving parents. I'll just say that his dad was on a personal improvement plan. So, you know, having parents who sew into you well and work on their shit is a form of privilege. And I'm grateful for all that, he continues to grow and teach me, and grateful to learn. This man has written like 80 books. Anyway, I don't desire to be that prolific, but I'm gonna do what I can to put my little imprint on this world. If you're not watching the video, I'm doing little marching hands. You know what? If you learn to laugh at yourself, you'll never run out of things to laugh at. That's a quote from my friend Claire Coughlin Powell. Okay. So here's what, when you are dying to give someone advice, here's what I do. I ask them, do you want empathy or advice? And people will usually say whatever they really want, right? I also have really learned that, like, sometimes my desire to give advice is my desire to control, and my control does not help anybody. You know what I mean? Like, I have been knocked on my ass so many times by the universe, I recognize, like, it's not my, this is not my job, right? Like, you're in charge. I'm just here to help, right? So I will say, most of the time your advice isn't necessary. It's just really, really hard to learn how to restrain. Sometimes I will ask people if they want my advice. There are a few, and it really depends on how close I am with someone. And I will tell you, like, there are a couple of close friends I have who I will give them my bossy Capricorn advice, and I will go out of my way to say, like, I have a bossy Capricorn moment for you, just because it's coming through and I really want to share it with you. And these are people who are usually receptive to hear what I have to say. But, like, one of those people is Chrissy Tolley. She's been on my podcast, but Chrissy has also paid me to help her professionally. And so, like, it's almost like the channel is open for me to, like, hear business advice for Chrissy from the ether. It's not even necessarily from me. It's like from what I'm hearing from my guides, right? And sometimes I'll have stuff that's coming through for somebody that, like, I really want to share with them, and, like, I will ask them if it's okay to share it, right? So, like, just getting consent first is, like, a big deal. It helps people feel agency, and it helps people feel not railroaded. And I lament any times that I made people feel yucky because I gave them unsolicited advice. Okay. Also, like, this is something I don't think I've shared this on the podcast yet. So, I really realized I've been working on my fear of rejection for a while, and, like, how to, like, create more than I consume, and how to, like, be a person who's, like, verdant and generative versus someone who's just, like, hiding my gifts. And I've realized this is how I'm dealing with rejection. I realized that, like, 50% of people, like, my light shining, like, reflects their shame, and or reflects, like, whatever about them that they don't like, right? And those people are not my people. I need to not concern myself with them. About 40% of people like my light, but they do not know what to do with it. Those people are also not my people. Like, I am not concerned with them. That's a really hard one. But, like, if people are not, like, full delighted by you, like, you can't create for them. You know what I mean? Like, that you're not here for them, or at least I'm not here for them. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a waste of energy. 10% of people fuck with me heavily. They're like, yes, I love that you have a podcast. I totally want to listen to your podcast. I totally want to listen to what you have to say. Like, this I learned from watching Brandy Marie Carlile. Last summer, she did a concert series at Red Rocks, and she had some kind of VIP thing where, like, there were about 60 people, I think, who got to come to her sound check. And, like, she just, the way she radiates when she's in front of an audience, like, she is just, like, there and, like, connecting with these people. And I just saw her on these, like, I was just on her IG stories, but, like, and by the way, if you love a celebrity, you have to put them in your search bar in order to get their stories. The algorithm does not want to serve me any of my people that I like my leak. I have to put her in my search bar. So, like, the top 10 people, this is how I conserve my time on Instagram when I'm being disciplined, is just look at what's on those top 10 people on my IG stories. So anyway, saw it on Brandi Carlile's story, like, her interacting with these people, and I was like, that's who I need to create for, is, like, the people who would come to, who would pay money to come to my sound check. Because, like, if I'm trying to please the 40%, or gosh, those the 50 who don't like me, I'm never gonna make anything great. You make great things by getting really specific and being willing to turn people off. Malik says, be willing to leave an aftertaste. That was from her podcast. So I'm just saying, that's the 10%. So here's where the 2% comes in, because I call this my 50-40-10-2. So 2% of like the whole, right? So within the 10, like they fuck with me heavily, but they're also gonna do stuff with their lives. Those are the people I give advice to. Those are the people who I'm really concerned with helping win, because I know they're gonna, I know there are people I can multiply through. A lot of people aren't gonna do anything with their lives, and that's okay, right? Like, you know what? And some people aren't really here to do a lot, right? Some people are just here to vibe. And that's all good, right? And some people are just here and they're not going to bust through their fears or their limitations. These are not people who are like probably going to have hard conversations. You know what I mean? They're going to be people who are just going to coast by and just like leave well enough alone. You know what I mean? And that's moving backwards slowly. That's like a hell of your own creation if you can't be yourself. But that's not, I'm not concerned with that. I'm concerned with the people who are like going to have the hard conversations because they want something better in their lives and they want to be real with themselves. And so, that's the 2% is who I'm concerned with. The 2%, I'm going to come up to them and say, I'm having an inspiration about this thing you're doing. Would you like to hear it? You know? But otherwise, I leave it alone. Just concern myself with myself. Like, go, we do too much. When you have high priorities, you can rest more. And I want to be well rested so that I can serve my best and serve for my overflow. I also wanted to tell you before you have a hard conversation. Do some things with your body that help you feel better. Big claps is something I teach at Fat Kid Dance Party. Just 2 minutes of big claps. You're just like putting your big arms in the air and clapping your hands. And like, I like to open it real wide. It opens up your heart space, but it also vibes you up. You see people doing this backstage and in dugouts all the time because it really works. It's so funny because I always use the example, if you want to hit, pitch a no-hitter or sing to sold out Madison Square Garden, you got to be at the top of your game. And it's really funny. I've been saying that for years. And then like on John Clayton Mayer's stories, I saw what it looks like to sing to sold out Madison Square Garden. He's shown pictures and I'm like, oh, look at that. So now that's what I visualize when I'm talking about that. But before you have a hard conversation, job interview, need to tell someone the truth, or someone's scheduled a hard conversation with you, that's good. Also, like knowing yourself well about like what time of day is good for hard conversations. Like I would say anyone I'm in an intimate relationship with will know. I don't have any intimate relationships right now, but if I did, they would know. Best time of day for me and my brain is 10 to 2. Best time for hard conversations is going to be in the morning era of the day because I will be my best and most sparkly self. Once we hit about 4 o'clock, I'm going to start to fade. And I am so particular now about like who I spend time with or talk to after 4 and then really after 7 p.m. There's a neighbor who I like and I'll have a daytime conversation with her, but like we had a spicy conversation at around like 6:30 one day, and I like will only give pleasantries at night. You know what I mean? I'm just like, hey, but I won't stop and have a conversation. So I'm not gonna have spicy conversations in the evening time. It's just not the time where my brain is ready and my emotions are okay, right? So like, and you know, sometimes things come up, but like you can also say like, hey, can we put a pause in this and pick this up in the morning when I am more available? That's a boundary you can set about a hard conversation, right? Okay, so I would suggest too, in addition to vibing yourself, is also praying ahead of time if you're a praying person or setting good intentions. Something I learned from church from Agape a couple of weeks ago is to ask to speak from your highest self all day long. I've been adding this to my daily prayer, is to speak from your highest self and to connect to other people's highest selves. That's just an intention you can set, and intentions are magic. Also, Archangel Gabriel. The archangels can only help if you ask them, and Archangel Gabriel is your boy, if he's a boy at all. I don't know. Is your boy for communication. So anyway, it's your homie, and the archangels are just sitting around like they're in an unemployment line. They have so much to offer, and we just have to ask. Okay, so. Let's see. My notes are messy, and so I just want to make sure I've been hitting things. Okay. When you're in your freeze response, by the way, you're going to procrastinate. You're going to avoid even simple conversations. You're going to give up quickly, without advocating for your needs. And advocating for your needs is a way to get into your agency. And like when you're not having hard conversations, you're falling into victimhood, which is a symptom of coloniality. So just so you know, victimhood is like not owning your agency. And I want you to be agents of your great life because you deserve a great life. Okay, so we are socialized to care 100% about what other people think and 0% about what we think. So people pleasing is just letting people walk all over you, and you don't have to live like that, just so you know. We're always going to be on a journey to change. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just the living and having more experiences is just going to teach you more about your life. And so I want you to live a better life. Okay. And so much stress comes up about avoidance. I would rather have a 10-minute hard conversation where I don't know what the response is going to be. And I will say, like, most of my hard conversations have actually gone really well and created more intimacy in my relationships than what happens when you don't have a hard conversation. So much stress comes up when you're avoiding it. Like, I know people who've like sat around for 10 years avoiding a hard conversation. Why? Why would you? Like, you don't know how long you get on this earth. Like, you could die. It, a lot of people, I think, die with the truth buried inside them. And that is not how I want to live. I wanted to also say, like, if you ever asking someone on a date is a hard conversation, right? And so something I realized in like the post game of my last long-term relationship was that, like, if you ever get back together with someone, this is my advice. If you get back together with someone, reverse engineer and look through the first time you went out with them, because there were red flags I totally ignored, partially because it was just inconvenient. You know what I mean? Like, I just like was having my feelings and I knew we were meant to be together, but I never addressed the fact that, like, my partner had never actually asked me out the first time we went out. She tricked me into saying, like, oh, she just wanted to pick my brain. That's avoiding a hard conversation. Like, she wasn't willing to own her desire. She just like wanted to trick me to go out with her, and then she put the moves on me, which, like, it's fine if you're like just fucking around, which is what we were doing at the time, because she didn't want to have a relationship. Like, that first iteration of our relationship, we were just keeping company, even though we were in love with each other. And the first time she said she loved me was when she broke up with me. That's a fucking red flag parade. But what did Bevan do? Bevan did get back together with her, but never addressed it. That was on me. And then I realized, like, the last year of our relationship, she was stuffing away. She was avoiding hard conversations with me. We went to Dollywood to look for wedding venues. And she told me when we got to Dollywood that I could have unlimited coffee mugs at the souvenir stand, which I was delighted to hear and excited that she was willing to pay for that. But it turned out she had broken several of my Dollywood mugs from previous trips to Dollywood, which, by the way, the surprise thing definitely doesn't count for surprise trips to Dollywood. So if you want to go to Dollywood with me and want to surprise me with that, please do. Don't, like, tell me where we're going. Just show up and say, we're going to Dollywood. I can get packed in 30 minutes. Okay. So I'm at Dollywood getting to buy all these mugs, but it was not a red flag to me at the time because I was under some heavy self-deception. I will tell you that. Like, the post game on this is that I did not feel safe to feel my feelings, and I didn't feel safe to recognize the intuition that was coming through to me. You can hear more about this in my gay divorce episode, which is episode 2 of this podcast. I've learned and grown so much even since that episode, but, like, I was not aware of, like, what a big red flag it was to be not willing to have a hard conversation. Like, oh, I broke your mug. Like, yeah, she broke my mug, but, like, she was just afraid of what my response was going to be. And, like, not being willing to have that hard conversation is, like, a tiny example versus, like, the big things that were going on in our relationship that she did not address. And, like, that, I mean, it breaks my heart a little bit in hindsight, like, just to think, like, how much she was stuffing away because she didn't feel safe with me. And I'll say, of course, like, I had things to work on. I still have things to work on. I'm not perfect, you know. Dr. Maya Angelou says, like, do your best, and when you know better, do better, right? Like, so I know I'm never gonna get it right, but, like, if I don't try, I'm just gonna be sitting on the bench my whole life, and I am a slugger. I'm out there. So all that to say, like, not like the not being willing to have the hard conversation of asking me out was then a red flag, big red flag in the relationship that was really toxic. And so watch for the people who aren't willing to have hard conversations. That's all I'm going to say. Because you don't really know where they stand. And that's shitty. I'm a Scorpio moon. I demand intimacy. I'm a Scorpio Venus. I'm going to know you better than you know yourself, right? But once you know something more, I want to know. Fill me in. Anyway, okay. Glennon Doyle had this quote. I'm reading Untamed right now. I have to say, like, I tried to read one of her books. I think it was Love Warrior. I don't remember which one it was. When I was living in LA, hated it so much. I had to turn it off after like three or four chapters. But I love Untamed. Untamed is really good. It's really about owning your truth. It's about liberation. It's about the ways in which like the patriarchy cages our men, you know, like the ways in which like we are all held back by, oh, she goes into like why fundamentalism adopted the idea. Like, because there were many fundamentalist preachers who were in support of Roe v. Wade when it happened in the 70s, but then in the 80s, they decided to become a voting bloc and they decided to target gays and abortion. That was created by men to hoard power. She talks about it in the book. It's a great book. Highly recommend. I've been listening to it on audiobook. This is a quote from that book. Blessed are those who are brave enough to make things awkward, for they wake us up and move us forward. I love it. I want a plaque for my wall. Because I want, like, here's the thing. Like, as someone who still aspires to have children in whatever way that comes to me, I want them to feel comfortable being themselves and having hard conversations with me because I want to know them well and I want to support them well and I want them to feel like they can always be themselves because I want to support them bringing their real gifts to the world, not trying to like people please me and like go all the way through a law degree. I said Chrissy Tolle told, said that law degree that you got that was really for your mom. I mean, you know, and my grandmother, I wanted to please both of them. And I knew law school would do it. So, but it didn't please me. It just ended up with some chronic illness and some mental health stuff. But I can teach from my pain. And so at least there's a purpose to it. Okay. Examine what you've been taught to believe. Who benefits from me believing this, right? Like that's a hard conversation to have with yourself, right? Like there's a lot of things out there that like we're just unconscious of till we're conscious of it. And that's also the work of unlearning white supremacy is just being willing to be wrong. There's a great essay that Glennon has in Untamed about racist and racism and like how she's unlearning white supremacy and like how hard it is to just be out there confronting it, but like as white women specifically, we're so complicit in white supremacy. Like we need to be out there dismantling it. And yes, like you're gonna fuck up and just be willing to fuck up and don't make it about you being a bad person when you fuck up. Learn and do better and reduce the defensiveness so you can actually hear people. And I will say that from personal experience. And Miley Teal says this, break the rules that limit you. Those are the important rules to break. Okay. Another question I got, and we're going to wrap up with this, is there a statute of limitations on hard conversations? Is it ever too late? And I will say, like, if you, I want you to feel fully self-expressed. It's one of the most important things you can do for your spirit. It's to just like really be who you are, speak your truth. Even if it's inconvenient for other people to hear, that's a hard conversation. And I would say, like, if it's on your spirit to do so, and if you've done the like writing it out and that has not been the catharsis, you're like, no, I need to talk about this, be willing to have a hard conversation. You know, like, it's an invitation for intimacy. And I think one of the most important things we need is to be intimately connected to each other. Like, one of the lasting, results of coloniality is hyper individualism, but humans are an interdependent species. We are actually met, our bodies still think we are in tribes of 150 to 200 people getting all of our needs met through a web of care instead of us doing it all ourselves. Doing it all ourselves makes us tools for capitalism so that they can make us have labor. We were supposed to, like, someone predicted, I forget who it was, predicted once the advent of electricity is that we would go down to a 4-hour work week. Imagine getting all of your financial needs met on a 4-hour work week. But instead, they just kept like creating things so they could just, it's just hyper extended extraction. If you look, there's a great video on youtube.com that Alexis showed me. Hi, Alexis. I know you listen. Alexis showed me. It's about the look up economy hamster, and it's a minute long video that just talks about like how nothing in nature is meant to grow exponentially, and that is the way our economy is running because it's just extraction, extraction, extraction. And with the advent of AI, like it should create universal basic income for us, I think. Like, give people the chance to like have their basic needs met so that they can heal trauma, because we are a very traumatized people. I don't know if we'll get that, but if enough of us collectively shepherd our time, treasure, and talent, and choose to drop out of capitalism as much as we can, I would say, like, I don't want to shrink my needs all the way, but I have really shrunk. Like, when I was making the highest I ever made was 80 grand as a lawyer, which isn't really a lot for a lawyer, but it was a lot of the time. I had to spend so much money to make it worth my while to even be so out of my character and personality, and like, once I lost that job, I like shrunk my living expenses to a third of what I'd been living on before, and just keep shrinking them. Like, I wanted to move up to the woods and like live on my art and activism, and I was able to do it for a while, but to be transparent, the Patreon has shrunk a lot, and so I can't do that anymore. I need to get some kind of job on the side, which is humbling but real, and like, I'm never going to stop doing this work. I'm not going to stop the podcast, but I might not, be able to do all the things I want to do, but I'll do what I can. And all that to say, your time, treasure, and talent are so important. And if you consume less and like get really intentional about, like, if you look up my website, queerfatfem.com, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes, but and you can always Google like whatever I may have written about in the past, queerfatfem.com space, and then like whatever your topic is, but it's called Mycelial Economic Solutions. You could just do economic solutions. But basically, it's like how I structure where my money, time, treasure, and talent go intentionally, so that I can like not be a tool of capitalism and just keep supporting everything that supports things that I don't support, right? Like, I'm really trying to divest from things that support genocide and divest from things that like support hyper consumption and stuff like that. I shop secondhand for my clothes. Like, I'm very, very intentional. So I offer that to you. That's a great way to like take back a little bit of control. Maybe we can get this UBI in our lifetime and make things easier for the next generation. Because I think a lot of folks, boomers especially, what a disappointing generation. I was saying, like, I was really inspired to do this, just to be real, because like I saw in the notes from one of the meetings on my land, which is run by boomers, like a couple of people just outright lied because they weren't willing to have conflict openly. And I was like, wow, fear of open conflict, that's a symptom of white supremacy culture. So they're not willing to learn, and they're not willing to leave the earth better than they found it. And like, all these geriatric people running our government are just running it into the ground, and they want to blame like Trump for ruining democracy, but they are all ruining it because they're not giving it's the illusion of choice. So take back our mind. I love the internet for giving us all the resources we need to figure out and be intentional. So that's the podcast about our conversations. I can't believe how long this got, but whatever. That's who I am. I'm chatty. I love you very much. Thanks for tuning in. And I just want you to know, if you're having a hard conversation, like, you can do this. Like, you are so supported in ways that you can't even fathom. And I just want you to know that you are amazing exactly as you are, and you're here for a purpose and for a reason. And we need you, and we need who you really are. And I want you to keep blooming. Bye, everybody.